Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11. And what we're going to look at today is the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus Christ went about preaching the kingdom of God. And then he sent his disciples and the apostles out. And he also instructed them to teach about the kingdom of God. So in chapter 11 of Luke, it says, "And it came to pass as he," referring to Jesus Christ, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased," when he, you know, he's finished, "one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." I think that last phrase in some Greek texts is not there, but it does occur in Matthew, I believe. But what is he saying here? Thy kingdom come, which at this point in time, he was teaching his disciples, right? And he was sent to Israel, and it was future. It was still future. You know, the kingdom had not come yet, but, you know, it was coming. And so that's what they prayed for, you know, thy kingdom come, you know, for it to come. Let's go to chapter 4. Why did he pray this? Just because he felt like it? No, there was a reason why he prayed for this. And we're going to look at chapter 4, verse 11. And this is where Jesus Christ is being tempted of the devil after he came out of the wilderness. He went 40 days without food, and he came back, and the devil tempted him and tempted him, you know, about his sonship. You know, if you are the Son of God, you can change the stones into bread. And then in verse 11, it says, and in there, okay, let's see. Verse 9, let's look at that. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee there, over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed for a season. I wrote down the wrong verses here. Oh, okay. Go to chapter 14. But, you know, right before that, let's see. The devil took him up on a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. So the reason that Jesus Christ talked about the kingdom come, because Adam had the original kingdom authority and reign over the world, and then he gave it over to the devil. In chapter 14, verse 11, it says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest the feast, call the poor, be maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. So, you know, somebody said to Jesus Christ, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. Makes sense, right? The kingdom of God, rather. You know, in Matthew it says kingdom of heaven, but in the other verse, chapter, or the other gospel, it says kingdom of God. but they're synonymous, right? Because heaven is where God lives. So, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see to it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly unto the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. Thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And goes on from there. You know, Israel was invited in, and they turned down Jesus Christ. So then he went out and preached, and eventually the Gentiles got invited in, right? So let's go to Matthew. Well, we read Luke 4. Let's go to Matthew 3. So people that can eat bread in the kingdom will be very blessed, right? That's what it said. Chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean, at hand? It means it's near, it's coming. It's not a long time till it'll be here. And then in Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. So again, you know, John the Baptist taught it, and then he was put in jail, and then Jesus Christ went, and he was teaching in Galilee, and he taught the same thing, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. So God gave dominion and authority over his creation, right? So Adam was in charge. It was his dominion. You know, kingdom means the dominion or the domain of a king. So the domain was the earth, the creation of God, and Adam was put over it. But when he sinned, he gave up that authority and that, power and authority to the devil. So Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. So Jesus Christ had to be the one to get back the kingdom from the devil. Makes sense, right? He came to take that back, that dominion and authority. And that is why Jesus Christ came back to preach this gospel concerning the kingdom of God or heaven. So let's go to Luke 9. No, there's many reasons why Jesus Christ came, right? God sent him to save the world. He came to be the savior of the world. He came to heal the sick and set at free the captives. And, you know, there's, I don't know if you remember, we do a weekend every year. And a couple of years we did Jesus Christ, and we did the purposes of Jesus Christ. And we had, I forget how many pages of things that Jesus Christ, his purposes that he fulfilled. Anyway, one of them was to get back that power and authority, that dominion over God's creation. So chapter 9 and verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together. That would be the guys that later became apostles, right? Chapter 9, verse 1. He called his disciples together, the 12, and he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So that's another, you know, that's part of the purpose. He sent them to heal the sick, right, and to preach the kingdom of God. So that's what he sent them out to do. Then let's go to John chapter 3. Remember when he first taught them to pray, and each time he talked about it, he said, the kingdom of God is near, right? So it's still future in the gospel period. Chapter 3, verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, this is Nicodemus, and he was a Pharisee. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here, Jesus Christ points out a requirement to see the kingdom of God, and it is that you are born again, or to be born from above, which means you receive Holy Spirit, right? You get born again. Then he says in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So then he goes on, he says, you can't enter the kingdom of God. I mean, you know, back in World War II, Jews were trying to escape from Europe. And some of them got on boats and they came to the United States and they wanted to be here. And they could see the United States, but they were not allowed to enter. So, you know, to see the kingdom of God would be great, but then to enter it would be even greater, right? You don't want to just see it. You want to be part of it. So that's what he said. He said, if you're not born again, if you're not born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So that's what's required. You must be born again. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15 and verse 50. And here's another, just a one verse, but it tells us about the kingdom of God in the epistles. It says in verse 50, Now this I say, brethren, Paul writing to born-again believers, right? Now we're in the age of grace, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So this confirms what Jesus Christ said in the Gospels to Nicodemus. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You have to be born of spirit. You have to be born again. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1. There is a purpose to all this. We'll get there. I promise. At least by Tuesday. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise, referring to the Gospel of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he gave commandments, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. You know, after he was raised from the dead, people saw him. There were witnesses. And he proved by infallible proofs. Infallible proofs means they can't be doubted, right? They're absolute. It's an absolute proof. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after Jesus Christ got raised from the dead, He spoke to his apostles and disciples, the people that saw him, concerning the kingdom of God. Go back to Matthew chapter 25. Hold your place in Acts, because we're going to go back there right away. But in Matthew 25, in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, who sits on a throne?
King.
A king. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Which is what? The sheep are going to be on his right hand, because the right hand is the hand of blessing. And the goats are on the left, which is the hand of cursing. It means they're not doing too good. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, this whole thing has to do with the future, even the future after us. Let's go back to Acts. So on the day of Pentecost, the 12 and others spoke in tongues, fulfilling the requirement of John 3, right? Okay, so in Acts chapter 2 again, verse 32, Peter speaking, it says, This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. So it says that God raised up Jesus Christ, set him at his, exalted him at his own right hand. And he said, this is, you know, and he shed forth Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. They saw them speak in tongues, right? For David is not ascended up into the heavens, but he saith himself, and of course he's quoting here from Psalms, and David wrote this, and it says, you know, David is not ascended in the heavens because he died and he's still in the grave and will be in the grave until the gathering together, or the judgments, whatever it is, you know, the judgment of the just. The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So God took Jesus Christ, right? And he accomplished everything that God said he had to do to make the new birth available. He talked about the kingdom of God coming, and it became available when the new birth became available, because now we have authority and dominion in our lives, and Jesus Christ is over all. It tells us that in Ephesians, right? He's over all principality, power, and might, and dominion in every name that is named. He's over all. But it says here, he will be Lord and sit thou at my right hand until thine enemies or thy foes are made thy footstool, which means when Jesus Christ is victorious over all his enemies, that God would make them his footstool. Right? Okay, Colossians chapter 1. So when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he defeated the devil, what did he do? Well, it says in Colossians 1:13, who, referring to Jesus Christ, or actually it refers to God, because it says, giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated or transported us into the kingdom of his dear son. So that's now, right? That's present. He has transported us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, there's a cool thing. Go to Genesis 41. Genesis 41. And we're going to start in verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, now this is about Joseph, right? Joseph was the 11th child of Israel. Jacob renamed Israel by God. And he got sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he was so good that Potiphar made him his steward of his house. But then he got accused of improprieties by Potiphar's wife, and he got thrown into prison. And then he comes, and Pharaoh has a dream, and Pharaoh's told about Joseph, how he predicted or told about the dreams of the wine steward of Pharaoh and the baker, right? And the wine steward tells Pharaoh, there's this guy in prison that can interpret dreams because Pharaoh has these dreams and nobody can tell him what they're all about. So, verse 38. So, Joseph comes and he tells the king what his dreams are and what they mean. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Now, you know what this is cool? Because Egypt was the greatest, most powerful nation in the world at this point. And Pharaoh made Joseph second in command. In other words, well, we'll read on, because what does it say here? He said, you'll be over my house. According to thy word shall all people be ruled. Only in the throne room will I be greater than thee. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him to rule over all the land of Egypt. Now, only, so he says, according to thy word. So in verse 40, it says, according to thy word. So in John 5, if you go there, in verse 19, then answered Jesus, John chapter 9, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he shall show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judged no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear, they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son, to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Well, how did Jesus Christ get this authority? According to the Word of God, right? God gave him that authority. How did Joseph get the authority? Pharaoh gave it to him, right? Let's go to, well, then it says, only in the throne room, and back in Genesis said, only in the throne room will I be greater than they. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. It says, then cometh the end when he, God, shall have delivered up the kingdom. Oh, when he, Jesus Christ, sorry. Then cometh the end when he, Jesus Christ, shall be delivered, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he, God, hath put all enemies under his, Jesus Christ's feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he that put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, under Jesus Christ, it is manifest that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him. You know, verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, unto Jesus Christ, or unto him, God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So in Egypt, Joseph was what? He ruled over everything. The only person that he didn't rule over was Pharaoh. Then let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, when he wrought, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or heavenly realm. For above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know, when God set Jesus Christ at his own right hand, he put him over everything. He put him in charge. He's second in command only to God. And when he comes back, he will deliver everything up to God, but he'll still be under God, right? And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which his body is his body, which filleth all in all. So, we didn't read in Genesis 41, but I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to go there. In verse 40, so it said, he made him read in the second chariot, verse 44, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, whatever, and he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from before the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And when did Jesus Christ start his ministry? When he was 30 years old. I thought that was pretty cool. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So, Jesus Christ. So Joseph is a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. You know, it shows the authority and how whatever Joseph said went. Everybody had to listen to him. And it says that we are joint heirs with Christ. We're going to go look at Romans chapter 8. We are also God's children. But Jesus Christ is in charge. He's the head of the body. He's second in command. He sits at the right hand of God, the hand of blessing. And it says that we're seated in the heavenlies with him, right? So we're seated at the right hand of God. In chapter 8 of Romans, it says in verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." We're joint heirs. We're at the right hand of God. And Jesus Christ, it says in verse 34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Remember back in John, what did it say? That God has given Jesus Christ all authority to judge, that he has life in himself. So Jesus Christ is there making intercession for us, which means that he's speaking on our behalf, you know, in a positive way. It's not a condemning. It says, "Who condemneth? Nobody, because Jesus Christ makes intercession for us." And then in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So, just like Joseph was set in the throne room next to Pharaoh, or rode in the second chariot behind Pharaoh, Jesus Christ is sat on the right hand of God. It says that we are seated with him in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, and it says that we have Christ in us. So, his authority and dominion on earth now, because the devil has no more authority over us because of what he accomplished and how God placed him in that position. How great is that? That's just, it's about as good as we could ever get. Then it says in chapter 2, verse 8, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And, you know, philosophy and traditions and deceit can come in all forms, shapes, and sizes. You know, theology, philosophy, religions, rules, laws, all that stuff. So we're not to be deceived by that, but rather we are to pay attention to what we have in Christ. "For in him," in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All the fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ. All that he's made available is in Jesus Christ. All that he's done for us is in Jesus Christ. All we are is what we are in Jesus Christ. "And ye are complete in him," which we know means completely, completely, totally, absolutely, 100% complete. We lack nothing. We are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all principality and power. He's in charge. So, you know, and I thought it was cool because that whole story about Joseph, and he was a great man, and that's how Israel got preserved to become the chosen people. But it's a foreshadowing, or it's a type of Christ. And it shows that authority and power that Christ has that God gave to him. Because Joseph had total and complete authority in Egypt because Pharaoh saw that he was a man who ruled righteously and did the right thing. And that's why Jesus Christ, he did what God told him. He was obedient and he walked with God and he listened. And so God set him at his own right hand and gave him that power and authority. So, amen and amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for how you've set us at your right hand in the heavenlies with Christ, and how you've put him over all principality and power and might and dominion, and that we can see that that the devil has no control over us and no power over us, and that we can stand against him, and all we have to do is believe your word. So we thank you for that, God. And we thank you for the day ahead that we can just be blessed by you and glorify you in all we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.